who is your neighbor, is one of the most critical questions asked of Jesus in the gospel. The Jews define neighbor as only fellow Jews, but Jesus redefines that traditional concept of neighbor in the story of the Good Samaritan, John chapter 4. The Samaritan was an immigrant, a foreigner. Through this story, Jesus leads us to recognize every human being as neighbor. In the story of my personal life, my neighbors have been people for listening to the voices of diversity. I belong to a global network of women leaders called Good Shepherd Sisters. Our goal is for the promotion of women. In my experience, nuns were the earliest expression of feminism, expressing our own leadership and the human rights of women in convents and institutions. Now I'll be telling you my favorite stories of neighbors in different continents. In East Africa, in Tanzania, where I was born and given the baptismal name of Rosa Maximiana, my neighbors were the disadvantaged Negro tribal women, the Maasai tribe. In the suburbs, early each morning, young adult women and teens walked together in groups to their work as domestic help. For security, they link hands, for if they walk singly, they are likely to be raped. Violence and a fear these women suffer. It is one of the big issues concerning women's human rights. Down the centuries, women have been unjustly conditioned to a low self-esteem from very young. This psychological conditioning got internalized in women. It is only through healing and attitudinal change in humanity will women be able to fully develop their self-esteem. The fourth International Conference on Women, 1995, which has given universal voice to women's human rights and endorsed it in a document, will also give indigenous grassroots women a focus and a voice for the first time in history, and the world will suddenly stop to listen. Here's a story that manifests the power of an indigenous woman to uplift a downtrodden race. In India, the Harijans were an oppressed tribe known as the Untouchables. In 1973, my neighbor was a Harijan woman whom I had the privilege to minister to. Although this single Harijan woman was considered an outcast in Indian society, she knew the price of a child and emerged as leader. She came to me and begged me as principal of the school to admit her son into our exclusive private English school. It is remarkable that an uneducated woman, whose people for generations had not known education, should value education. My staff of 20 teachers unanimously said, no, he will not fit in, he has no background. But the woman persisted. She came day after day after day. So I listened to her disadvantaged voice instead of school bureaucracy and accepted her son into our school. Amazingly, her son cooperated with his mother's desire and graduated an A student from our school and went on to university. From then on, this woman altered the future of Harijans. Hers was the insight of a feminist to cause greater possibility for her child and to make a difference for her downtrodden people through education. In 1993 in Australia, my neighbors were the indigenous Aborigines. In Adelaide in South Australia, there's another true story that reveals the strength of a woman who had great vision. A century ago, a Catholic nun, Sister Mary MacKillop, relinquished her position as teacher in a high-profile British Catholic academy and went out into the forest area to educate her poorer neighbors, children of the immigrants and Aborigines. When she was expelled from her own convent, which she founded, it was the Jewish women who took her in. She built a school for the poor immigrant and Aborigine children, but was excommunicated from the church and banished by an angry English archbishop who resisted her for independently daring to educate Aborigine and immigrant children in preference to the elite British Australian Catholic children. Our sister Mary MacKillop petitioned Rome to look at her, to examine her case. Immediately, Rome lifted the excommunication. Early this year, 1995, Pope John Paul II visited Australia and canonized Sister Mary MacKillop. Immediately, instantly, the Australian feminists claimed Sister Mary MacKillop as their feminist patron. The theme that runs in these stories is that God is a God of community, especially of the disadvantaged. What God requires of me is to exclude nobody and to continuously reimagine the power of the word through ever-growing relationships. The inquiry, who is your neighbor, does not stop here. It just never ends. Women feminists want to go beyond equality recognition. We want men also to grow to holism, to wholeness. But this will occur only when there is relational integration between men and women. As Sister Joan Chittister says, feminism is the missing link to unify humanity globally. Scripture reminds us that Jesus Christ came to bring people to wholeness. God chose those whom the world considers absurd to shame the wise. God singled out the weak of this world to shame the strong. God chose the world's low-born and despised, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that humanity can do no boasting before God. From 1 Corinthians. I have expressed in the story of my life how I'm coming to uncover in ever-progressive ways the answer to the question, who is your neighbor? Throughout the Bible, God is calling us to grow creatively, to reimagine new ways of discovering one another. This will bring me and humanity to a whole different future for the year 2000. Thank you.